Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Old Fashioned Golf. Our friends at Old Fashioned Golf are creating Wisconsin-inspired golf apparel right in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All of their gear is extremely comfortable, with one-of-a-kind designs that allow you to show your love for this great state on and off the golf course. And if you are a Wisconsin sports fan like me, you are wearing your red Polka State polo with the white states on Saturday and the green Polka State polo with the gold states on Sunday. And you're going to keep wearing those combinations through the college basketball season and the professional football postseason, because it's all about Wisconsin at Old Fashioned Golf. So check them out at oldfashionedgolf.com. We need to get Old Fashioned Golf to do some Hawaiian print stuff. So Gary D'Amato goes to the century that he can be, well represented. Wisconsin, Hawaii. Gary D'Amato is on his way back from the century, and he joins us here from just down the road from me at Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix. Gary, welcome to Phoenix. I apologize for the frigid temperatures. Not like you can feel it there in the terminal.
Yeah. How far do you live from the airport, Rob?
About 30 minutes west of you on a good day with traffic. Right now, it'd be about an hour to get you.
Well, yeah. Well, we've both been in the home office in Caledonia a couple of times. And for the first time, we're both in sort of the home office in Phoenix. I guess I'm not too close to you, but close in spirit.
Well, when Gina found out that you were down at the airport, I mean, she was only about 15 minutes from you when she left work about just a little while ago. So we are as close as we've been in a while. And you are much closer to home than you were just about 5-6 hours ago, because you spent the last week on the island for the PGA Tour opener, the Century, sponsored by our good friends at Century Insurance. It had to have been a fun week over there. Another season is upon us. What were your thoughts on what you saw over there?
Yeah, first of all, it's funny, Rob, the temperature, looking at the news that night, you know, when weather came on, the temperature was like 80 to 81 4 days in a row. And then it dipped to 79 one day, and the weather person said, looks like we have a cool down coming. So it went from 81 to 79. That's considered a cool down in Hawaii, I guess.
Well, it apparently is. And now they're getting rain over there, at least on the, I guess, on the Big Island, because the Sony Open Monday qualifier has been a little bit interrupted here. So, but it looked like you got great weather.
Yeah, it was great all week. And now I get to go home to Snowmageddon, I guess, as they're calling it. We're supposed to get a bunch of snow over the next 4 or 5 or 6 days. So got to get that snowblower fired up, Rob. Not looking forward to that.
No. Chris Kirk wins the tournament with a 29 under par 263 by a shot over Sahith Theegala. Jordan Spieth, a good tournament and a great final round with a 65 to finish third. Any impressions from what you saw over there is what we can expect here with the PGA Tour season? Again, it's going to be probably one of the most watched seasons in history with Jon Rahm's defection to LIV Golf.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Rahm to LIV Golf. Rory McIlroy did not play in this first event. You know, it's going to be a topsy-turvy season, Rob. It's hard to know what to expect, you know, a year down the road, or 3 months down the road, let alone a year down the road. But the tour is changing quickly. I think it's changing dramatically. And, we're not nearly done with what this tour is going to transform to be. And no one knows what it's going to look like a year from now. But, you know, I was really impressed with Jordan Spieth, Rob. You know, I watched him on the first few holes in the opening round Thursday. He double bogeyed, I think, the second or third hole. He was 2 over par after 4 or 5 and rapidly losing ground to everybody on this course. They eat it up. But he played great after that. And, I have just a gut feeling that Jordan's going to have a big year.
And of course, you were over there with the assistance from Century Insurance, and, their involvement in the game of golf, their involvement with what we do at Wisconsin.Golf has been, much appreciated. And I think
impactful as far as, you know, they're all over the place. In fact, I was out golfing today, came back home, inputted my score into the, you know, the gin handicap system. And of course, they're the sponsors of that. Their footprint, is, very noticeable in the game of golf.
It is. And wasn't really the case a decade ago. You know, they owned a golf course, Century World, that was, you know, sort of, I wouldn't say falling into disrepair, but it was not the course it once was when it opened in 1982. And, you know, Pete McPartland, the CEO, had to make a decision. Do we renovate this course or do we get out of the golf business? And, he decided to renovate, which was, the first step in all the things that we see Century doing today with their involvement with the USGA, with getting championships at Century World, with sponsoring a PGA Tour event. It all stemmed from that decision to renovate Century World.
What is the buzz with Pete and with the Century people about any more USGA championships? Obviously, U.S. Senior Open last year was a rousing success, and now they've got USGA competition, if you want to call it that, just down the road at Sand Valley.
Yeah, you know, I talked to Pete about that and wrote about it in my Sweet Spot column.
Uh-oh, we've lost Gary D'Amato here. I'm not sure if...
Now that the championship's coming to Sand Valley, people might think that precludes Central World from getting something else in the near future, but I don't think necessarily that's the case. I think they're still on the USGA's radar, Rob. They've had two very successful championships there, and it might not be in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, but they're going to get something else, and they're happy about Sand Valley because they say that, you know, what's good for Sand Valley is good for us. We're 45 miles apart, and it just shines a light on Central Wisconsin golf.
Yeah, it sure does, and it kind of serves as a good segue into what we were going to talk about here in our first Talking.Golf of the new year, a look at 2024, and I will talk in a minute about the fact that it's probably going to be our 1 year without a USGA championship in the state for a while here.
Yeah.
Who knows what might come after 25 with the U.S. Women's Open at Erin Hills and 26 with the first of those USGA championships over at Sand Valley, but as far as 2024 goes, I guess we have to start right here with our website. We've gone through a change of ownership, and we are now under the auspices of the Wisconsin State Golf Association. Gary, I think I probably speak for you that we're really appreciative of the work that Rob Jansen's done, the executive director of the WSGA, to really bring us aboard in a rather quick fashion. And we're all really encouraged by what we can do together.
Yeah, I think it's going to be mutually beneficial partnership, Rob. I think, you know, there was a chance that we go away without the WSGA stepping up and helping support us and taking us under their umbrella. So, you know, it helps us obviously keep our jobs and keep doing what we love to do. And I think it helps the WSGA. It's going to shine a light more on their competitions. They've got a massive email list that they'll be sending our stories to, and some people who might really not have been familiar with us now are going to find out what Wisconsin.Golf is all about. So I think it helps all of us. It helps golf in the state.
And there'll be also some involvement from the Wisconsin PGA in that sponsorship and that oversight. So, you know, we really are, I think, you know, as we've done since we launched in 2016, trying to create this Wisconsin golf community. And I think, you know, we've seen it. You know, there's been a lot of people who, you know, at all levels that have appreciated our work. But, of course, we've also appreciated the cooperation we've received from both the governing bodies and the people who play golf in tournaments run by those organizations. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to 2024. Gary, we're just finishing up the Wisconsin.Golf yearbook, which we've always done in partnership with the WSGA. And I don't know about you, but in writing the stories that I wrote, there's a lot going on in golf. You kind of handled the state amateur story, the state am going to Merrill Hills this year in Waukesha, the legend at Merrill Hills. What's the vibe you're getting from both the people at Merrill Hills and from Jeff Perkle and the tournament staff at the WSGA about really what's going to be a shock to the system for these amateur golfers who have played Erin Hills and Sand Valley the last 2 years, kind of courses that are more modern than what they're going to face at Merrill Hills.
Yeah, exactly, Rob. You know, the last two courses, you could spray your driver a little bit. It was more of a grip it and rip it mentality. And, you know, generally you didn't get in trouble too much off the tee at either one of those places, Sand Valley or Erin Hills. But that's going to be a huge difference going to Merrill Hills, where you've got to hit fairways there because most of the fairways are tree-lined, and the rough is going to be up, you know, where they're talking, you know, probably 4-inch rough along the tree line. So you've got to hit your driver straight. Distance is not going to be a huge issue, but it always helps if they're long, of course, but you better be long and straight at Merrill Hills.
Absolutely. I had the pleasure of writing about the State Open, which is going to Minocqua Country Club. By the way, the State Am will be played July 15th through the 18th at the Legend at Merrill Hills in Waukesha. And then August 19th through the 21st, the State Open will be played up at Minocqua Country Club. And what was fun about writing that story, Gary, is I reached out to Harrison Ott, who won the State Amateur back in 2018 in that 8-hole playoff over Thomas Longbella. And, you know, wasn't sure what, you know, I'd get from, you know, Harrison about, you know, his appreciation for the course, you know, having won there. Turns out he's an avid fisherman. You know, obviously we wrote last year about how Harrison and Thomas Longbella and George Kneiser have done a lot of fishing up on PGA Tour Canada. But do you know that when he was supposed to be doing, you know, defending his title the next year at Laconia, he wound up not playing, withdrew from the tournament to play in a national amateur event, as a lot of the college kids do. And but by the end of State Amateur Week, he was back up in Minocqua Boulder Junction at a friend's cottage, and he watched the 2019 State Am around a campfire in the Minocqua area. And he can't wait to go back. He hopes it works out that it can. But boy, Minocqua Country Club sure, I think, opened the eyes to the golf world of Wisconsin about what a strong course it was back in 18, and it's only taken off from there.
Well, for me, Rob, Minocqua Country Club has a little bit of mystique about it because I've heard so many things about it. I love that part of the state. I mean, it's such a beautiful part of our state. And I've heard so many good things about that course. Of course, you know, Steve Stricker and Jerry Kelly are members there. And, you know, if they're going to join the club or a course, it's going to be pretty darn good. So I can't wait to get it up there and see it, Rob.
And I should mention, too, Gary, we have a standing invitation from Dave Chemnitz, the head professional up at Minocqua Country Club, to play the course if we can make it work, especially when I'm back in June. So we're going to have to arrange our schedules so we can do that. But everybody has just raved about it. And, you know, we were at the Chicago Golf Show in February of 2020. And just before COVID hit, and Minocqua Country Club was down there trying to recruit members. And to kind of round out their membership role, they were trying to reach capacity. And as soon as COVID hit, and then all of a sudden the Chicago and Milwaukee area members that, you know, spend their summers up in Minocqua realized and were encouraged to work remotely, then all of a sudden it became the place to be. And now they've got a waiting list, Dave told me, of 50-plus. And like you said, Steve Stricker, Jerry Kelly there. Our members there, of course, Jerry's parents, Lee and Jack, longtime members up there. And it just seems like the North Woods has become, I think, what maybe Door County was back in the day. It is a getaway that people are not afraid to drive to.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the golf up there, Eagle River Country Club, Plum Lake, Insaner, Trout Lake, St. Germain, Northwood. There's just so much good golf up in that area of the state. And you know, it's even a shorter season than we have in the southern part of the state. So I'm sure the people who play golf up there really appreciate that, you know, May to September window to play golf.
So we talked about the two main tournaments on the men's side. The women's tournaments will be going to North Shore Country Club for the state women's amateur in July and the Meadowbrook Country Club in Racine for the state women's open in June. Let's go back to the men for a second, Gary. I've got a story going tomorrow on Pearson Hunt. I talked to him at the Patriot All-America. There's a lot of golfers for whom 2024 will be a big year. I can't think of a bigger year for anybody than Pearson Hunt because it was a struggle in 23. He didn't play a lot of state events, played a national amateur schedule. You know, started reasonably strong in the fall at Illinois, but then wound up, you know, I think eighth out of eight golfers in stroke average for the Illini, and really is kind of in a state of flux. And I think 2024 might be a big year for Pearson Hunt, because after, you know, the spring season at Illinois, you know, he, Cameron Huss, others that are seniors this year are likely going to turn professional, and we're going to see another influx of Wisconsin talent to the pro ranks.
Yeah, you know, I know Pearson's a really good student too, and I think a lot of these guys, you know, who have that, as much talent as Pearson has and maybe hasn't played up to his expectations, once he gets out of school and he's able to, you know, practice when he wants, for how long he wants, as much as he wants, and he devotes himself totally to the game of golf, I think you're going to see an uptick in his performance and his results and his scores. You know, he has more talent in his little finger than a lot of guys have in their whole body. So I do, you're right. It's a big year for him, but I do expect him to tackle it that way and to be ready and to have a good year.
Cameron Huss, who was the player of the year last year after winning the Ray Fisher and the state open, finished second at the state amateur. I didn't realize, Gary, that his first state amateur was the 2018 state am at Minocqua Country Club. And he told me that, he got in as an alternate at the last minute. He was, the 10th or 11th alternate to get in that year, and missed the cut, 79-76, missed by one, but can't wait to get back up there. He also will be graduating UW in May and looking to jump into the pro ranks. So he'll probably be defending his state open title as a professional, which will be kind of interesting.
Yeah, there's a guy, Cam Huss, who has gotten better and better and better over the last 4 years, Rob. You know, his collegiate results have been really good, but in the summers is where he's really shined, when he's, you know, gotten out of school and, you know, entered all these tournaments and gotten really sharp tournament-wise. He's been so good. To finish under par, deep under par in the Fisher is expected of a great player. But then to finish under par in both the state open and the state am, he was the only guy to do that in those three tournaments last year, I believe. Maybe Jack did too, Jack Schultz. But anyway, I think he was a combined maybe like 24 under in those three tournaments. That's playing some golf in those tournaments.
Yeah, really good stuff. Really good stuff indeed. Mentioned Harrison Ott. When I talked to him, he's not really sure, Gary, how this PGA Tour Americas is going to shake out. And I talked to him. I talked to Pearson Hunt. I haven't got a chance to catch up with Thomas Longbella. But you know, in terms of, you know, where they can play initially and how they can get into these tournaments where, you know, Longbella and George Kneiser, Harrison Ott all played well in PGA Tour Canada last year. So they should have some exempt status. I anticipate we'll see them more late in that season than early. Right now, in fact, today, Gary, two of those young men were in qualifying for the first Korn Ferry Tour event, which is coming up in Panama at the Panama Championship. They had the open qualifier, two of them at Weston Hills in Weston, Florida. And again, we've talked about this many times. How tough is it to get out there? Well, Thomas Longbella shot a 6-under par 66 this morning. He was T2 for a long time, and they only take two this year from each of the qualifiers, four all together into these Korn Ferry events, at least the early ones down south. And he wound up finishing T5. There was a 3-for-2 playoff at the tour course down at Weston Hills for between guys that shot 64. So and then George Kneiser shot a 2-under par 70. So, you know, again, it's they've got the game, and it's going to be a tough row to hoe, especially, Gary, you left the island today, and a lot of controversy over the first PGA Tour event at the Sony Open. I don't believe anybody from Q School is getting in that field, and I believe only one Korn Ferry Tour graduate. So all of a sudden they're realizing that the numbers don't quite add up for all these, you know, guys. In fact, they're having a rookie orientation session before the Sony Open, and none of the rookies can play. It's crazy.
That is crazy. The talent is so high, such a high level, Rob. You know, I was lucky enough to play in a pro-am at the Century, and I played with Siwoo Kim for 9 holes and Cam Young for 9 holes. And just to be up close next to those guys and see, you know, the power they have in their swings, the speed they generate, how great they hit their irons, and how great their short games are. I mean, you see it on TV, and you see it maybe from behind the ropes sometimes, but to be next to those guys and watch what they do. And they're two of the best players in the world, but there's hundreds more that are almost as good as them. So you're right. It's so, so tough to break in.
And it's starting to make me, you know, sort of gravitate closer and closer to the, you know, we need more live golfs, because they, you know, with the elevated events and the reduced fields in those this year, I mean, last year, you know, there just aren't enough spots to go around for all these young men and, you know, on the various tours to be able to work their way up. So, and then Harrison Ott didn't, like I said, didn't know what he was going to do, when he would start. I anticipate he'll be doing some Monday qualifiers. And then Pearson Hunt let me know, and I didn't realize this either, that they're going to have a mid-year qualifying school series for all the college graduates and actually anybody who wants to do the mid-season PGA Tour America's Q schools so they can compete in some of the events in Canada. I think this is a way of trying to, you know, get some of the college seniors to be able to give them an opportunity. But I don't know, Gary, there are so many professional golfers. I can't imagine. This has become insane as to how, you know, how they're trying to, you know, create opportunity, but yet, you know, have a competitive product with the LIV Golf.
Yeah, there's so much money in the game now, Rob, and you know, more and more pouring in with LIV and with what the PGA Tour is doing. Now, if you maybe harbor dreams of becoming a professional, they're that much more sharpened, or that much, there's that much more urgency to get to those levels to try to rake in some of that money. I mean, it's insane how much money golfers are making at the very top levels now.
This is Talking.Golf. Again, we're sponsored by Old Fashioned Golf. If you want to check out their stuff, you go to oldfashionedgolf.com. They've got great looking stuff, including their new hooded sweatshirts and the crew neck shirts in the I-43 design, which look nice and warm. And given the forecast for all of Wisconsin here in the next couple of days, I think those will be pretty popular, and you might want to go over to Old Fashioned Golf and get you one. Gary, as we continue just briefly here talking about 2024, what else is on your radar in terms of big stories you're looking forward to, big tournaments, course developments? What are you excited about with Wisconsin golf in 24?
Well, I'm looking forward to following our friends Steve Stricker and Jerry Kelly, Rob. See if Jerry can get back and win a tournament or two this year. He did not win last year. And I'm excited to see, you know, if Steve can continue what he did last year, which was an historic year. Can he keep it up? Can he win, you know, a bunch more times? Now he turns 57, I believe, in a few weeks, Rob. And the window starts to close. I'm not saying it's closed, but it starts to close at 57, 58. But, you know, Steve kept himself in great shape. So I'm looking forward to what he's able to do. And then, I don't know, are there – I guess Sedge Valley opens up this year, Rob, up at right. Sand Valley, their fourth big course. This one designed by Tom Doak. I can't wait to get up there and see that one. If it's anything like the other three, it's going to be special.
It sure will. We should also mention, too, that, you know, I think traditionally Jerry Kelly opens his season at the Sony Open. Steve Stricker was talking about trying to get in there. I only counted one PGA Tour Champions player in there, and that's Stuart Sink, who still has status on the regular tour.
Yeah.
And again, I think the Sony Open officials were very careful as to where their exemptions went, and I think that's why you only saw one senior tour player get in there. But, see, we'll defend his title next week at the Mitsubishi Electric Championship at Hawaii and at the AmFam Championship. Jim Kelch, by the way, our esteemed photographer and general manager, he let us know that he's seen some diggers across the street from his home there. Near TPC Wisconsin, it looks like they're getting some course work in. I know that they talked about doing some modifications to the TPC Wisconsin initial layout because I think parts of it might have been a little bit too difficult. So it'll be interesting to see also, Gary, what they do at TPC Wisconsin ahead of their moving the AmFam Championship there in 2025.
Yeah, that's a good point, Rob. And the Steve and Nikki Stricker American Family Insurance Learning Center is going to go up this year at TPC Wisconsin. It's going to be a state-of-the-art learning center that, you know, elite golfers will be able to, you know, sharpen their games, but also they're going to be great for the community and bring a lot of first tee people in and a lot of kids and juniors to learn the game. So Travis Becker and his team there. I think he's hiring two professionals. Maybe he's got them hired already teaching pros instructors. And that's another thing to keep an eye on is what goes on at TPC Wisconsin and the Learning Center.
Well, it's kind of scary, Gary, as we did the yearbook. I mean, I'm just amazed at all the changes that are going on. You mentioned junior golf. This year, the WPGA Junior Championship is going to have a little bit of a new wrinkle. They're going to Oakwood Park in addition to Brown Deer Park because Dretzka Park, which normally hosts the other leg of the of the state's largest junior championship, is undergoing some cart path renovations this year. They don't think they'll be done by the time the tournament rolls around in late June. So the kids will be going from Brown Deer to Oakwood if they start on the first day at Brown Deer, or Oakwood to Brown Deer. So we've all played Oakwood. It's a great course. And again, another gem in the Milwaukee County Park system. So neat to be able to do that. And then the PGA Great Lakes Series tournament, which debuted last year at Washington County Golf Course, is going to expand to 54 holes this year. And it now gives the kids, in addition to the WSGA Junior and the Sherry Steinhauer and the Mike Schnarr, another 54-hole event, which are really critical, Gary, because most college tournaments are 54 holes. So it gives the kids of Wisconsin another opportunity, the ones that are interested in playing college golf, to be able to, you know, play another event in that format.
Well, I live about 4 minutes from Oakwood. So, Rob, if you need help covering that event when it rolls around, let me know. And I can almost take my bike there. It's and I go there every night in the summer, not every night, but 4 or 5 nights a week, and spend time on the practice green. I run into Jim Ignatowski out there and some of our old friends. By the way, don't ever get in a putting game with Jim Ignatowski.
Oh, boy.
Especially at Oakwood. He'll take all your money. And he did that to me.
Yeah.
But there are some great opportunities for our junior golfers again this year.
Well, and I know that we had not privy to our weekly meeting today, but we will be meeting sometime soon to go over our tournament coverage schedule. The days of the WPGA Junior, Gary, you might likely be up at Lake Arrowhead in Wisconsin Rapids for the WSGA match play, which will be going on head to head there with the WPGA Junior. The WPGA Junior is a week before the Ray Fisher. The Ray Fisher is a little bit later this year with the 5 Saturdays in June. So again, I've got the month by month here, and I mean, it's almost every square is full except on the weekends. You know, there aren't many tournaments on the weekends, but there's enough. And usually if once we get, you know, catch our breath after the Monday through Thursday or Friday, you know, amateur and state schedule stuff, Steve Stricker, Jerry Kelly are doing something on the weekends. So it really will be a 7-day-a-week operation here very, very soon.
It is. You know, people ask me in June, July, and August, they say, you must be playing a lot of golf. No, I'm not playing a lot of golf in June, July, and August. I'm watching a lot of golf and happy to do it, but I better get a lot of rounds in before those tournaments start coming up on our schedule, Rob.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And otherwise, as we look ahead, I think it's mainly all in-state stuff, you know, and it's, just continuing to grow the game. And, we're going to be doing some things here on Wisconsin.golf in conjunction with our new umbrella company of the WSGA that, will. And in fact, I think I can give you a brief preview. Some of the things that you traditionally saw in the Wisconsin Golfer magazine, including the rules of golf quiz from John Morissette, will be coming over to Wisconsin.golf. So we've got that debuting here later this week. And, those are always fun. But, John Morissette is we've got so many great rules officials in the state of Wisconsin, but, he is a walking encyclopedia when it comes to the rules. And it's always fun to read, his take on some of the rules that, are current in the headlines.
Yeah, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but John Morissette is really one of the world's foremost leading experts on the rule of golf, not just in Wisconsin, not just in the United States. I mean, John Morissette is regarded worldwide as one of the best and most knowledgeable rules guys in the business. So it's a treat for us, and it's great for our readers and listeners to be able to delve into what John has to say about the rules every when he posts those.
So maybe what we'll do is, ahead of his rules posting, we'll let's do that right now quick, and then we'll call it a podcast here. Gary, I know you've got to catch your flight back to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Okay, number three on the question here. This is a spoiler alert. If you don't want the answer, you might want to tune out right now. His third of the six in the rules quiz. Your stroke from the putting green is deflected by a worm on the putting green. You must replay the stroke without penalty. True or false?
I would say false.
That is correct. As your putt was deflected by an animal that is defined as a loose impediment, a worm, see definition of loose impediment, you must play your ball without penalty from where it came to rest. If the putt had been deflected by an animal that is not defined as a loose impediment, such as a squirrel, you would have had, you would have been required to replay the stroke. Rule 11.1b, subsection 2, Gary D'Amato. You always wondered about squirrels versus worms. There's your answer.
Well, I know one thing, Rob. An 800-pound grizzly bear probably would not qualify as a loose impediment. That's for sure. I would run.
We're going to have to maybe do a joint conversation with John about some rules.
Yeah.
I used the modified Tiger Woods rock rule the other day. My ball came to rest behind a rock that was, you know, it was solid and a little bit hard to move, but it was movable. And I moved it, and I was able to hit it out of the it wasn't really a penalty area, it's just a waste area, and onto the green and save par, but would not have been able to do it if that rock had remained. So, you know, some things that you see on TV, and you're able to use those rules to your benefit. The rules are good. The rules can help you, Gary D'Amato.
They can. If you know the rules of golf, Rob, they can definitely help you, because sometimes there's more than one option in how to handle a situation, and sometimes the options actually can be beneficial to you.
Well, I don't know if we'll have this posted by the time you get home from Milwaukee, Gary, but you've got a late night flight into the Cream City. Let me just see when this snow is supposed to start, though. I'm
Please.
Seeing winter storm warning, and we're getting a freeze warning here in Phoenix. So,
wow.
Snow expected around 9:45 p.m. in Madison. So you might just skirt it. It might be white knuckle from Billy Mitchell down to the Caledonia headquarters. So you guys travel safe back to Milwaukee, and I appreciate you taking time to do this here. Our first Talking.Golf of 2024 is in the books.
All right, Rob. Thanks a lot.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf, and we are sponsored by Old Fashioned Golf. Our friends at Old Fashioned Golf are creating Wisconsin-inspired golf apparel right in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All of their gear is extremely comfortable with one-of-a-kind designs that allow you to show your love for this great state, both on and off the golf course. And if you are a Wisconsin sports fan like me, you'll be wearing a lot of the red Polka State polos and the green Polka State polos with the white and gold state emblems on those, respectively, as the certain college basketball team and a certain pro football team make their way through the month of January. Because it's all about Wisconsin, Old Fashioned Golf. So check them out at oldfashionedgolf.com. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.